Now let's begin again today by reading from the book of Galatians chapter 5. We want to continue what we have been talking about, true righteousness. We have said it again and again that the gospel of righteousness is very important for us to understand, that God doesn't accept us because of what we did in ourselves, but he accepts us because of what Jesus Christ did. And we connect with that by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. And what we mean, that has very practical meaning. And the way I've been illustrating it again and again is I will look at Christians today, the way we are taught, that if you want God to give to you, you first give to him. Are you getting my point? And I've said it to you again and again, it cannot be true. What Jesus himself said is that if you want anything from the Father, you will ask. Are you getting my point? Now, what is righteousness? To be accepted in God's presence so that he will give to you. Well, we said, how are we accepted? Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did. So before God gives to you, he doesn't look at you. He looks at the thing that the Lord Jesus has done. He looks at the payment that Jesus made by the sacrifice of himself, by the shedding of his blood. And upon that basis, he responds to you. And that's the meaning of righteousness. That's the meaning of true righteousness. You know, I was writing a sermon today. You know, I write sermons all the time, all right? There was one I started writing today. Of course, what I have taught here again and again. In fact, we started that at the beginning of this series, talking about the highest of heavens. That is, there are different spheres in life. Let me just explain this to us again. I said it last time, but you remember, I'm not afraid to repeat myself. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. That's what Kenneth Hagin said, and I've learned that. So Peter said that, I know you know these things already, but I will not be negligent to remind you of them. So I realized, therefore, that repetition is necessary for people to be established. So, in fact, I've noticed that I've been saying the same thing every day, all right, in different ways. Then I will now add something to it for that day. The next time I come, say that same thing again about your being accepted in Christ Jesus, all right? And then I'll add something else for that day. So I'm about to do my repetition for today. If you're happy, say amen. All right. And let me just say this before we read this. I won't take more than 5 minutes. How many of you know advanced physics? A bit of physics, all right? I ever heard of black holes? In our last that magazine, all right, there was one segment in which we talked about the black hole, all right? Now, one thing I like things like this. I read a bit here and there. You know, there are many laws of physics. Let's quote one or two of them. The rate of change of momentum is directly proportional to the force applied. You understand? If every other thing is constant. That's Newton's second law. Thank you. That's second law. All right? No, that's second law. Every object continues in a straight of line, in a state of rest or uniformation in a straight line, except an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. That's the first law. There are all kinds of laws. There's a very popular third law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You go to Charles's law, all right? Pressure is directly proportional to temperature. If this volume is constant, then Boyle's law. You know, there are all kinds of things. Avogadro's law, Poiseuille's law, you know, all those kind of laws are the laws of physics and chemistry. The speed of light, constant. The laws of physics and chemistry. They say that, listen to this, that once you enter into a black hole, all those laws, they fail. They scatter. Now, I'm bringing out something new. I thought about it again today. I said, oh, this is so beautiful. Because some of the things we discuss, because I try to make sure that, you know, I reasoned well. Why do people say things and then those things are very popular? People hear them a lot and they believe them and they preach them. And then some of us will come and say, these things are not true. You know, if it doesn't bother you, bothers me a bit. Don't think I like being controversial. I actually like to tell the truth. Then I realized something, and I've quoted it here before. The book of Acts chapter 18, we read the story of Apollos. Let's just quickly read it again so that, open to the book of Acts chapter 18. All right, very good. Sorry. So the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 24, said, now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. Everybody say mighty in the scriptures. So this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He said, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately. Everybody say accurately. He was teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. What you are acquainted with is what determines your accuracy. Did you hear what I said? Yes. I told you the story once. I read in a newspaper. A man was married. He, you know, for those of you who know about your hemoglobin genotype, he's AA, his wife is AS, and she gave birth to a child that is SS. So of course it bothered him. The normal human reasoning is that he's not the father of the child and all of that. And so he wrote to a newspaper, "Dear Auntie Agatha, Dear Auntie Ignorant," you know, that can be a nice name, all right? Yes, there's a name called patience, right? So there should be a name called ignorance. He wrote to Dear Auntie Half Knowledge, and Auntie Half Knowledge said to her, to him in his reply, that's what I read, "Your wife is very lucky to have a husband like you." Because the woman had denied all allegations, had volunteered to go and swear before a shrine in their village, and that shrine is said to have been very notorious, it will kill you if you're lying. And he said he interpreted it as if it was her own way of committing suicide. So in the pressure of his soul, he wrote to Dear Auntie Ignorance. And Dear Auntie Ignorance replied and said, "Hey, men like you are not common. If it's some other men, they would have beheaded her by now." And you know, because I had more knowledge, I was pained. I'm going somewhere. And she made a statement, and I answered to myself, "Oh, foolish Galatians." He said, "But 2 + 2 = 4, we know." I said, "You see ignorance. 2 + 2 is not always 4, you know. 2 + 2 in set theory could be 3. If you are using Excel for your calculation, 2 + 2 could be 5. Because on the surface, Excel will display 2. In the background, it's calculating with 2.4. So when you add 2 cells showing 2, 2, the resultant cell, it shows you 5. What you do not realize is that Excel is displaying 2 to you, but behind it had recorded 2.4. But it told you don't show me any decimal points. So it abbreviates it to you to 2. But it continues to manipulate the equations with 2.4. 2 + 2 therefore becomes what? 5. We have read the scriptures that the 2 shall become what? 1. There are times you take 1 and 1, you add it together, they become 1. And Jesus will say, "The Father and I, we are 1. 2 people can be 1. Therefore, we know, 2 + 2 is not always 4. Sometimes it is 3. Sometimes it's 2.92. Sometimes it's 4.51. It can be 2. Any can be anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when I read that, I was upset. And I took my time to reply. And I said to her, I'm not going to discuss that now. If I use it to teach my students, because I'm the one, teach two different schools, I teach genetics, that is for pathology. And I use that story to instruct them all the time. I said, there is paternity testing. I said, we're all born of the same father. How come we have different genes? There are the things they call new mutations. I don't want to bore you with the details. I use it to instruct them that was an ignorant person answering a confused person. Are you getting my point? Why did I say this? Your accuracy is dependent upon what you are acquainted with. That woman was acquainted with general, what I call, tell my students, I call it market knowledge. The kind of thing that you hear on the market, sugar causing diabetes. You've heard that before? You eat too much sugar, you get diabetes. It's the fattest of lies that people propagate all the time. I teach these things to students, and I know there is definitely, absolutely zero relationship between your consumption of sugar and soft drinks and your ability to get diabetes mellitus. But you tune the TV, you hear it. It's my job. I'm a pathologist. You know. I teach these things to students and I get, you turn on the TV, you're drinking cocoa, you get diabetes. I say, my God in heaven. The consumption of sugar is not at all. It is as related with diabetes as the drinking of water makes you fly to heaven. Yet, you hear it all the time. So you now, let me not even sit down there. But you've gotten my point. Accuracy is related with what you are acquainted with. And I dare to say it, many people these days are not acquainted with the person and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the things they say, they are accurate because of what they are acquainted with. Let's continue reading. You notice something there. He said in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And you notice two people, a man and his wife, who were better acquainted with spiritual things by the name Priscilla and Aquila. He said, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, those people were present in the synagogue. They took him aside and explained the way, and explained to him the way of God, how? More accurately. Why? They were acquainted with things beyond the baptism of John. They were acquainted with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had heard of the death of Jesus Christ, why he died, how he died. They understood the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Paul had instructed them. So when Apollos showed up and he was there preaching a hot message that John preached, very accurate, but he left so many things because he was not acquainted with those things. Then Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and began to show him things, and they were able to lead him into more accuracy. You are following the point I'm making there. So that is why it appears sometimes that you hear some things, and then you hear me preach. One brother called me today from Europe, and he spent some time on the phone, and we were laughing. He said sometimes he's watching TV, and he hears some things. If you want £2 million, it's on that side. You sow this seed, and he said he will laugh, and say, Pastor Banky told us it's not so. And he said, Pastor, thank you very much for keeping us safe, delivering us. I remember Kingsley there told me that he was in bondage to tithing on everything you gave him until he met me. That was the person I told that if you gave him a recharge card, he couldn't sleep again because he was owing God. Is that him sitting at the back there? It was a problem to his life for somebody to bless him on the road. Don't worry. He became a walking accountant. Lest I offend God and it destroys the works of my hand by releasing the devourer on me. I finally solved it. It helped me reconcile myself with many teachings I hear. People who preach those things, they are accurate on a particular level. Let me say it to you again. You know, I said this last week. I want to say it again. God doesn't bless you because of what you give. That is accurate to a level which is below the level of the third heavens. Because when you get to the level of the third heavens, God blesses you because of what Jesus gave. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before you get to that level, you are actively trying to give so that God can bless you back. But once you are acquainted with the things of the third heavens, where I was telling about the laws of physics collapsing inside a black hole. So what you find is that every law that you understood before then, they collapse in Christ Jesus. So when you get there and say, Lord, you are going to bless me. He said, why? The people who don't understand, they say, you say, I've been diligent in giving and tithing and everything. And everybody there is confused. Gabriel said, what is he talking about? Michael said, is that guy a Christian? Have I been doing my work in defending him? And the angels are looking at each other. He came here to ask God to bless him because of something he did around nonsense. Then if somebody was acquainted and said, Lord, you will bless me today. I won't live here unless you bless me. And the Lord said, why should I bless you? He said, because I went to church today. I discovered the blessing that Jesus paid for. I came to collect it. Then Michael said, yes, this guy is my guy. Anybody crossing my behead. That's the job Michael does. It's not nice. You know, he doesn't carry messages. Hail Mary, full of grace. I don't care what you are full of. You offend me, I behead you. All this messaging thing is for Gabriel. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. Because this fellow has understood something different. So you see, that's what the problem is. And Christians, you know, I noticed something here. You notice that Aquila and Priscilla didn't sit down there and say, we can have our difference of opinions. We're all Christians. They took him aside. And so, boy, stop saying this thing. Say, what's wrong with what I'm saying? They brought out the scriptures and began to show him things. The things that Paul had taught them. And Apollos left that place and began to expound more accurately. Are you getting my point? The problem I have with Christians sometimes, they don't like deeper accuracy. Why? Because they have spent the last 15 years in shallow accuracy. You know, I said something last week. Let me say it again. That the moment you cross this door to come and listen to me, or you clicked to play, or clicked to download on the internet, your problems began. All the seeds you sowed towards your future, they were destroyed the moment you clicked on download, or clicked to play, or you entered this place. How were they destroyed? Because I lifted you to another level of accuracy. Therefore, you have to adjust. Because once light has been shown to you, anything you walk by short of that light becomes iniquity. Are you getting my point? When you did not know, God said, hey, you know, he's a small boy. Send him somebody to tell him something. Once you know, if you operate below that level, you are walking in sin. Let me say it to us again. I say I'm not afraid to repeat. Because I want you to be established. I'm not afraid to repeat. I want you to be established. When God wants to bless you, this is the black hole level. You understand what I'm saying now? Where all the other laws, though they are accurate. I mean, those laws are so accurate that scientists from the earth can send a spaceship to Mars, drop something on it, and the thing is hovering around and moping around and trying to analyze things. Those laws are that accurate. They are so predictable. I used to read about how astronauts will send. That is, the laws that all them, the laws of calculus and all of that, they had to accurately get them right. They couldn't miss them by a tiny fragment of 100,000, you know, one tiny fragment. They couldn't miss it. Because he said it will make a difference between their spacecraft crash landing on the moon and landing gently on the moon. But as accurate as those laws are, once you enter into the black hole, they are confounded. Therefore, when somebody says, listen, this was what I did, and God did this one for me, maybe it was accurate. I read the scriptures, and I found that those accurate laws are all over the place. Job said there was a time that the blessings of God was in my house. His friendship was over my tabernacle. I did this and did that. When I spoke, nobody spoke again. He said, why? Because I helped the widow that was in need. I helped the poor. I did this and did that. I found that they were accurate. But in Christ Jesus, they are nonsense. Help every widow in front of your house doesn't guarantee you jack. Let all the problems of the world be solved by you. You will still die and go to hell. You will still pray and your prayers will not be answered. Why? It's simple. Because now those laws for you, they have collapsed. Everything you receive now is because Jesus helped the poor. Are you getting my point? He's the one that died for the poor, not you. And hopefully from next time, I begin to analyze for us again what it meant when he went to the cross. What it means that he's alive forevermore. So when you and I want to be blessed now, we focus on faith. The just shall acquire life by what? By faith. What is faith? God says, I've given it to you. I believe it. I walk like that. I don't raise my shoulder to come and say to God, we too, we don't try. You know the one I tell you all the time? When I'm going to heaven, I'm going to hold all these souls with me. These are the souls I want for you. When you reach heaven's gate, they will face everybody else apart from him. Wait outside. It is according to Gordon's. 5,000 friends on Facebook. 700 followers on Twitter. 2 friends at your funeral. Only you on judgment day. That's what God has said. When you appear before God's judgment throne, all the souls you want are not counted. Like I say all the time, Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. We must understand these things though. The gospel of works, I believe, is one of those things that has been wrecking the body of Christ in recent years. That has been a problem. Because when we start holding to those things, we refuse the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the summary of everything? We don't lay claim to our own works. That's the point I'm trying to make in all of these things. We trust that Jesus has done it, and we always expect things from God on the basis of what Jesus did, not the basis of what we did. No matter how much you have worked supposedly for God, you are careful to avoid recalling those things to mind when you are praying. You are careful because it's a temptation. It's a temptation. Satan wants you to quote it for God. You notice how my life, I mean, I've been a very, very good girl. When I married, I was a virgin. I'm a very, very good girl. That's why I must have abundant children. God said, sit down there. Go and ask Micah what she was when she was a virgin and when she married. Anything I ask God for, I simply say, God, do you know Jesus said that I've been forgiven? I know I was a jaguda. But that was then. This is now. Now it's under the cover of the blood of Jesus. When you get to heaven, if you see Osama Bin Laden on your side, no vex. Somebody paid to have him enter. I hope you're getting my point. When we are praying, we are careful. We never, ever, unconsciously or consciously refer to any good deeds on our side. We make our prayers based upon what Jesus did. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I've been saying this thing every day, every time we meet here now, over the last many weeks. But I can't stop saying it so that people might be established. That's what we've been talking about, and we're continuing from that point, all right? So we said, why do we do good, therefore? Good is our nature. What did I say? It's our nature. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. I said, a good Christian is a generous man. He's not a man you whine so he can give. Why is he generous? He's not afraid of the future. He knows, I said that last time, that everything he has is a receivement, according to Bishop Oyedepo, not an achievement. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. I said to you, this is how money is. Every money that comes to your hand has different parts in it. There's what the Bible calls seed for the sower. And there's what it calls bread for food. That tells that there are different parts. So a diligent Christian just says, which part belongs to where? He's generous. He's not giving because he wants to get. He's blessed. She understands that I'm blessed. Everything I need in life is secure. God secured it for me in Christ Jesus. Simple. Why am I going to be rich in life? Because he died. Though he was rich, so that I, through his poverty, he became poor. That's what he was talking about. That I might be made rich. He made the sacrifice. I'm not the one making the sacrifice. So I'm free to serve God. I'm free to give. Like I said, you know, which day was that I said it here? I said there were people that were listening to me that day. They have to go home and eat everything for once. Because all their lives they have been in bondage to giving. Why? They thought that if I don't do it, I'm dead meat. There are those who start on the journey. They just press their brake, call their wife. Honey, how are you? I'm fine. Where are you? Please quickly rush to church. Go and pay that money. Why? They want to travel. Because if they don't pay it, the devourer may simply start troubling them on the road. So let's secure the protection for this journey. You know what? That is not faith. And it does not please God. You may as well take that money, go to the toilet, cut it up in pieces, flush it down. It has the same effect spiritually. Liberty is what we use to serve God. What did I say? Liberty is how we serve God. It's liberty, not bondage. We are not afraid. We serve God because we are free to serve. We serve God because we know that this is not what we are using to gain. This is the reason why we were born. We are just fulfilling our assignment in life. A time came, Jesus said, they said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, okay, if I start praying that kind of prayer, why did I come to this hour? Please, I hope you are following my point. I'm doing all this repetition for the sake of establishing people. This is the truth. You cannot afford to live any other way. You can't. You can't. You can't. All right? So we do good works, like I said, because it's our nature. We do good works because it's our nature. And last time I began to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit. You know, last time we talked about sin. Christians, we don't sin because, you know, remember the illustration I used? Somebody said, this man finished enjoying life and now gave his life to Christ. It's not fair. And we're going to go to the same heaven and you're angry. You don't know the man didn't enjoy life. He suffered life. Is there any expression like that? You could enjoy life or suffer life. Those people were in suffering life, but ignorant people thought it was enjoyment. Satisfaction is in the soul. If God doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. A sinner can never have it. You are getting my point. So we don't want to continue in sin because we might go to hell. You know, somebody sent us a mail recently that he heard me say that if a Christian sins and he dies, he won't go to hellfire. Yes, I said it. I say it again. I like shocking people. What's in a world like that? So that you either settle down and listen to me with all your heart or you vex Waka Komot. I don't have time to explain it now. The first time I told my wife to, she looked at me and said, you know, I've been telling you you're a very strange Christian. Then she bought a book, Final Quest by Rick Joyner. And she finally understood what I was saying. I said, you see, you follow prophets. Follow us teachers. We know these things. Because the prophet said, I went to heaven. I saw this. I said, oh, now you have been convinced. I said, I don't have to go to heaven. I have read enough scriptures to understand some of these things. Listen, we serve God with what? Freedom, with liberty. We are free to serve God. We don't walk in sin because it's not our nature. I won't be hungry and go down to the rubbish bin downstairs and say, wait, anything for boys here? I'm hungry. I look to my left, look to my right. Nobody's there. I pluck amaranthus, begin chew. I won't do that. I'm not a goat. You get what I'm saying? Sin is not our nature. Righteousness is the nature of the believer. And Peter said, if the believer is not walking above sin, if he's not walking in righteousness, it's because he has mixed up his facts. He said it is because they have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their previous works. From their previous lifestyle. They have forgotten. That is, they mixed up the facts. That's why they are walking below the glory of God. So this was where we ended. Paul now said, so how do we handle it? How do we ensure that we constantly walk in righteousness? How do we ensure that we don't walk in sin? It is simple. He said, walk in the Spirit. Now open your Bibles there. Galatians chapter 5. We'll start from verse 16. He said, but I say, walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now in verse 19, he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and he mentioned all those things. He said, of which I forewarn you, I'm in verse 21 now, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He said, against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, not will, what did he say? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That is, if the source of our life is the Spirit, therefore the source, the guiding force for our everyday living must be by the Spirit also. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, having one another. Please, you see, you know, I thought about this. Now, before I say what I want to say, quickly go down to chapter 6. Paul says something there. From verse 6, he said, the one who is taught the word of God, he said, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows, now please follow this. There's a principle of life. Sowing and reaping. That's what they were describing. And I said in verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I said in verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. He said, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, you see, there's a reason why I read that. Now, this is what I wanted to say. When I began to think about what it meant to walk in the Spirit, now notice something. Let me quickly explain this principle. There's a way life is. There's an order that God has placed on this earth. There are things that God said you must not struggle with. Now, what do I mean? If you want to start a car, you don't enter into the engine and start looking for the pistons and rings and then the camshaft and all those timing chain or timing belt and looking for the spark plugs to try. You know, you just go somewhere. What do? You turn a key. There's everything has been designed so that the turning of the key causes the engine to start running. In life, there are things like that. That is, any result you want to get in life, there is what to do that will produce that result. That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, so he said, don't struggle against the works of the flesh. That's what I'm going to explain. That's the problem with a lot of people. They are struggling against the works of the flesh. He said, no, don't struggle against the work of the flesh. Leave the works of the flesh alone. What do you spend your energy on? Walking in the Spirit. And automatically, you will discover that the work of the flesh will disappear. That you strengthen the work of the flesh when you focus on it. This is one illustration I've used a lot of times. It's so appropriate. Let me use it again. I've told this story many times about Mary Kay Ash. How her husband, Mel Ash, was a very heavy smoker. And they had spoken to him again and again and again. Please quit smoking. And the man could not quit smoking. He tried his best. He couldn't. They used different methods. Take this medicine. This will happen. Or do like this. Exercise. Focus on something apart from soak smoking. Focus on the clouds. And then you won't smoke again. He used all kinds of methods. He would abstain for a few days. After I was there, I better give me one benzene there, Joe. This thing is not working. So everybody gave up. He gave up. Then one day his wife picked a magazine and was reading, that's Mary Kay Ash now. And she read that when you're a smoker, you don't only harm yourself, you harm those that live with you. When she read it, she left it on the table. She said, this man always checks what I've been reading. So truly, next morning, he got there, picked the mag, he saw the dangers of secondhand smoking. For the first time in his life, he understood what it meant, all right? He understood what secondhand smoking meant. He said he realized it was not just hurting himself. He was hurting his wife and those that lived with him. And since that day, he never smoked again. No struggle. It was just unfortunate that the effect of the previous smoking now showed up months later. And he died about 2 years after that. All right? But the point is this. While struggling against smoking, he failed. When he focused on the love for his wife and the other people in the house, smoking died. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So that caused me to think, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Because that is the way by which Christians, who are righteous people, don't fall for the works of the flesh. I said, for Paul to have said it so categorically, straightforward, without any explanation, it means that these people must have understood him. Are you getting my point? Yes, I said it must, because it was on my mind. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I'm not telling you that today I fully understand it. But since we're talking about it, I have to tell you the much of it that I understand. All right? But know this for sure. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, that's number one. Number two, he said, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me quickly say what it means. Let me not waste time there. He said, the fruit of, because if the word is fruit, that means there's a seed. That fruit means that the Spirit is producing something. So what it means is, what I'm trying to ask is that when did we put the seed inside? Because I read it, there's a law of sowing and reaping. It said, he that sows to his flesh will from that level reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. Therefore, what is that telling you? When it says the fruit of the Spirit, he's saying that anyone who sows to the Spirit, this is what you will find coming out of his or her life. Please follow me. That is, if a Christian is walking in love, it is not because he exerted himself to walk in love. It is because there's something else he's doing that other people may not be doing. So he finds walking in love easy. If a believer is forgiving, it's not an effort. Please get my point. To forgive is not an effort. It's a natural fruit of having walked in the Spirit. of having sowed the right seeds into the realm of the spirit. If we find that a believer is patient, he's not worried, he's not afraid, it is not because he's stood in like this. You know, you're afraid. Hold my hands. I don't go fear. Nobody's struggling, all right, not to be afraid. Listen, if you have cause for fear, you go fear. If you are not afraid, it's either you are so stupid, you don't know what's going on, or you have seen so much in the realm of the spirit working on your side that you don't know why you should be afraid. Remember our story of Elijah, 2 Kings. Elisha, I'll ask my master, how shall we do? He said, don't worry. I know these soldiers, they are surrounded here. But those who are on our side are more than those who are on their side. It wasn't a statement, you know, let me explain what I'm saying. For Elisha, it was not a statement of, oh, please get me. Faith, you know, like, just believe. Do you believe that there are people with you right now? I say, yes, sir. I'm trying my best. I have to believe it. Under these circumstances, what else can we do but believe? No, it was a statement of fact. The way it was as if he was seeing those who were on their side. Whether he heard God tell him before that they will be there, therefore he knew they would be there, or God actually showed him. But what, because why I'm saying so is that when his servant wouldn't cool down, he had to pray, Father, show him what I have seen already. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, Lord, open his eyes. And when that guy too saw, he said, oh, yeah, bring it on. I won't fight. Oh, yeah. Who's number one? Oh, yeah, come now. And they would look at, why is this man so bold? And because, let me tell you something. Those soldiers, you know, they came up to Elisha. It wasn't as if the angels held them back. The way, and I've talked about activation of angels. The way angels walk is not the way you think. The angel of supernatural supply doesn't bring money. They don't carry cash. Yes, the angels that handle finances, they don't carry money, don't have checkbooks. If they come and say, yes, we are the angels of supernatural supply. Yeah, praise God, you have come. Where is it? They don't bring anything. But their presence starts arranging events around you. They walk with you out one day for a business. You just stand there. Enter this shop. You enter. Deal with that man. He knows what he's saying. You deal with it. That they start arranging events. Where you were making 10 naira before, you start making 10 million. Then you know angels are on your side. Now, please, you are getting what I'm going to explain. So, let me get back to what I'm saying. So, it's not as if the Christian says, I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. It's just by faith like that. No. It's a fruit of knowledge. It's something that comes out of him because he has sown the right seeds. You are getting what I'm trying to explain here. Even though those angels didn't hold those soldiers back, which was what I'm going to explain, Elisha and his servant were not afraid. Elisha walked up to them and said, who are you looking for? We are looking for the prophet. He said, he's not here. Follow me. They were following the prophet until they entered into the midst of Samaria and delivered him to the king. That one said, should I kill them? He said, why do you kill them? Give them food to eat. They ate, they drank. He said, now go home. After that, everybody became afraid. Those men never raided that region again. And that was the activity of those angels. Now, let's go back to Elisha. Why was he not afraid? It was not because he said, I will not be afraid. It's because he knew something that the other people did not know. And once they knew it, once the servant knew it, he took calm down. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. That's what I'm going to explain. Not that I say, I will not be afraid. No, but because I have sowed the right seeds, fear disappears by itself. You are getting what I'm saying? Therefore, the question again is, how do I walk in the Spirit? How do I sow my seeds into the realm of the Spirit? Because, you see, in that Galatians chapter 6, Paul emphasized that it's a matter of sowing and reaping. Continue doing this, eventually, you will begin to see your life produce that. Faith is not that just, by force. Me too, I go believe. How can a man believe and get this kind of thing? I've not been able to believe. Now just close your door. Yeah, today I'm going to believe. After you have believed for 5 minutes, you get tired of believing, then you leave the place. Because there's nothing like that. You can't just shut yourself in a door and say, I'm believing. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. What does it mean to have fruit? That means we sow seed, a period of time passes, and then something begins to come out of our lives naturally. Please, you've got what I'm not explaining here. So that's why I'm sitting on, how do I walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit? And I said to you that I don't claim to understand everything. But I have studied a bit, I've looked here and there, and I realized a number of things. Now, number one, let me first tell you what I realized that's manifesting or walking in the spirit. Number one, everything spiritual has physical manifestations. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you see the word spirit, I said it to you before, a believer, a child of God, the seed of God is inside him. This child of God is the seed of God is inside her. What that means, therefore, is that when you give your life to Christ, there are certain things in your life. Now, listen, not your passions. Now, please get what I'm saying. Not the way your flesh responds. People think that once you give your life to Christ, you're no longer angry. An angry man, the moment he gives his life to Christ, is an angry man. Yeah, you're not getting what I'm saying. Listen, maybe you're a wife that has a pomeltos husband. Have you heard that expression before? No, I invent these things like that once in a while. So, you have this unbelieving husband who used to fight at home, beat you. Then one day he gives his life to Christ. He gives his life to Christ. And I think that, ha, praise God. Listen, for the first 1 week, the joy of the Holy Spirit will calm everything down. You get what I'm saying? Then after that 1 week, that's normal. Because you see, he was an angry man. He didn't hate you, just that he couldn't control his temper. So you say, I thought he was giving life to Christ. So he said, yes, my life is still with Christ, but this my temper is still with me. You are getting what I'm going to explain? What I'm saying to you is that don't be discouraged like them. That man is not a true believer. He is a true believer. He is. It's just that the flesh, and that's why Paul said that if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The flesh has its desires constantly, even though it's a believer's flesh. His desire is to avenge itself. Is to slap somebody if he's offended. Is to hold his money to himself, not to give somebody else because you never know tomorrow. That's flesh, self-preservation. Something happened to me recently that is my office and all of that. I understood what the Bible meant when it said men will be lovers of self. People were telling me to make decisions that you never can know tomorrow. I said, none of you, all right, have bothered to tell me about right or wrong. You are all worried about it. You know, tomorrow night, if you offend somebody, they may want to do you back. I said, you have not addressed whether it is right or it is wrong. That's lovers of self. That's human flesh. He wants to make a decision that will favor him later because of the is a fleshly thing. It's called self-preservation. That's why a snake bites you. He's not angry with you. The mosquito that comes to your house to bite, it has nothing against the human race. It does not know it causes malaria. No, they don't have a demonic meeting. All mosquitoes, what shall we do? We have to go and suck blood. You know we are witches. They are not witches. Why do they suck blood? They need the blood to fertilize, to make their eggs grow. The blood is for the development of the next generation of mosquitoes. It is just unfortunate that you don't like to part with that blood. It's just unfortunate that while feeding, some other things cross the barrier and then you begin to shake. So you get malaria. Then you start pursuing the mosquito all over the place. What am I saying? It's flesh. That desire for self-preservation. It's flesh. Now, a man walking the spirit, this is what I'm making. That flesh, that's a believer, the flesh is still there. But if he's walking in the spirit, the flesh cannot manifest. What does it mean to walk in the spirit? Therefore, I was saying to you earlier. So you see, when the man gives his life to Christ, even though his natural flesh is still there, but something in him, you know, before, the man will fight. At the end of the day, good for her. But this time around, say, hey, why did I do that kind of a thing? Are you seeing the difference? The spirit is different. The flesh is the same. His vexation is anger. But the spirit now is different. This thing I told that happened in my office recently. Someone said that they're spreading your name about. At the point that I picked my phone, I went to call somebody and say, look at what this guy is. Then I said, what am I doing? I'm trying to defend myself. I dropped. Listen, natural person is, you want it like this, I give it back to you. Everywhere you go to spoil my name because I was on the side of right. If I tell the story, your name go wreck. So I picked the phone. First, let me call this person and tell, look at what this nonsense. I had picked the phone, began to dial. I said, I just pressed end button. I said, what nonsense? This is not the first time somebody is trying to fight me behind my back. Let's see what they will get at the end of it. That God is my defender. I dropped the phone. Walk in the spirit. What am I saying? What I had realized is that God defends me. Therefore, I could not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So, a man has the spirit. The spirit talks. My wife didn't realize today when I say, yeah, go. You know that time, what I'm talking about. I said, go. He said, I don't want to go. It's just because you said so. What happened was that as we're talking, something in me just spoke up like, it's not proper for you to keep this person waiting. My wife was angry. I'm not going to see her. I'm not going to see her. I said, it's not proper. We're talking, though. And I said, baby, go. He said, no, where am I going to go? I said, just go. I'm just going to go just because you said so. I said, that's good enough for me. Just go. But what happened was that something in my spirit shifted. I said, this your strategy is not going to work. It's not the right thing. So one of the things Paul is saying to you is that there's a nudging, are you getting my point, that comes in the life, all right, of the one who has given his life to Christ at certain critical moments. Walk by that. That's one. Number one, that is one of the ways by which those nudges work. I said that there's something inside the man who will fight, finish, and say, yes, that was the right thing. Now he finishes fighting. After settling down, now say, lion of the tribe of his house, are you happy now? Then he's getting like, you know. These are explanations he never had to give himself before. Now he's having to explain to himself why he was angry. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to tell him things. Now, one of those things that the Holy Spirit says, now listen to this, I began that last time. All right, he tells him, go for a Bible class. I'm serious about that. Tune a channel and listen to the Word of God. Take a book and read. You don't need this football match, for goodness sake. There's a Bible class going on, go and attend. Go to church on Sunday. There is a seminar. Now, I'm serious about this, I mean it literally. I said spiritual things, that's what I'm trying to explain. They have physical manifestations. It is a matter of the spirit, all right? It's a spiritual fact that God's spirit starts speaking to the man. But this is a practical thing I'm coming to. The kind of company he keeps is one way by which he walks in the spirit. That is the physical manifestation. Very important. Very, very important. Very important. Listen to me. As a believer, don't ever keep company with those who don't boost your faith. Don't. Walk by the spirit. Yes, your spirit is guiding you. Walk in the spirit. This is one of the manifestations. Where do I find you? Listen to this. What are your favorite programs on TV? Hey, Kim Kardashian, Kim Kardashian, Kim Kardashian. You will fulfill the desires of the flesh. You are getting the point I'm making? Listen, one of the things I found out, Psalm 1, because of time we won't read it, but you've read Psalm 1 before. Blessed is the man. Now, please, you must understand something. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Please get this point. You will see that the man does not... Oh, God. Let's read this. I want to emphasize something. You will see that that man does not make a conscious effort to obey the word of God. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Now, let me stop there. You know the rest of it. Why I read this verse, these first two verses, is to bring out the issue that this man does not obey the word of God. Notice something. He didn't get down and say, today we will obey the word of God. We will prosper. No. Walk by the Spirit. His Spirit says, when men are gathering at a certain place, and they are having communion. Are you getting my point? You know what I call communion? Yes, communion. Listen, let me say it again. When Jesus had communion with his people, it was bread, the normal bread, the one they were eating before. They didn't, you know, in church now we have special communion bread. Listen, you know, these are all religious practices that came out of our background of idolatry. The truth is that those days, it was the normal bread that they were using for the feast. When it was time for him to talk, he just took another one. As everybody shift. This is special bread, though. And he took it from the normal pack. He said he broke it. And said, I'm not making an issue here. It is the normal food they were eating. There was no special communion wine. It was this normal wine that, if they were French people, is the wine that we're supposed to use for, you know, is it fourth course? Which course is that? Anyway, the wine they will use to finish the food. And that was the one he just took a bottle and poured it into a glass and began to give to them. I'm not saying communion bread is bad. I'm just trying to explain that, you know, it's just normal food. So you can go to a bar and eat normal food and you are eating devilish communion. I don't know what I hear what I said. What makes communion communion is the atmosphere. Who are you worshiping? Oh boy, is it that babe? You know, spirit of adultery. Eh? Even if it is malt you are drinking with ordinary cracker biscuit, in that environment, it is what? Communion. I keep on warning. Should Christians drink wine or not drink wine? If you go into your bedroom and booze up, you are safe. But if you go into a bar with adulterous people, criminals, and you drink coke, you are dead. You get what I'm saying? It is a communion that is a primary thing there. If you drink water in a bar, your friend on your side has a harlot on his right hand. You get what I'm saying? It's water you are drinking with watermelon. The business partner you came to see, the girl hanging on his left hand, you know this is not his wife. And all of you are there talking, saying, yeah, I don't drink. Praise God. In our church, they don't drink. Don't worry. Don't worry. In your church, they don't drink. But in your church, they come to strange places. Evil spirits will ride over water and watermelon and tabernacle inside your soul. I'm telling the truth. And I like to keep on saying this thing because Christians are very funny. They say, me, no, I don't smoke, I don't drink. And they feel very righteous. If you want to smoke and you want to drink, just go into your bedroom, lock the door, sit down there on the floor, finish your drink, finish your veg, you understand? Flush the rest down the toilet and go and sleep. You are safer. I'm not advising you to do it, but I'm there. Don't deceive yourself that I don't drink beer, therefore I'm safe. The kind of company you keep is more worrisome than the beer you are drinking. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His spirit just says, no, this is not the place to be. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is not that he obeys the word of God. No, that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is that he loves the word of God. Please, there's a world of difference between love, first, and this mechanical obedience that Christians preach and practice. If you love God, obedience comes naturally as a fruit of love. But many people, listen, let me tell you, I think I went to say this some weeks ago. Let me say it now. I've not posted the sermon, although I finished it essentially, just a few corrections about the love of God. Many people these days, they don't love God. They use God. Most people don't, this tithing problem, they don't tithe for any other thing more than, if I don't do it now, poverty. Devourer. The fear of devourer and poverty is the beginning of tithing for them. Listen to me, it is not accepted in heaven. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, few Christians love God. No, let me say few Christians. I will draw that. I will draw it. Few people these days, few churchgoers actually love God. Very, 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 very few. I give this illustration once that I went somewhere and it was a couple's dinner, a breakfast meeting, and everybody was speaking. How do you love your husband? How do you respect your husband? And how do you know those kind of things? No. How do you get your husband to do something or to be nice, to be good, and all of those things? And they said that you will cook for him. You will rub his back. You will never say you have a headache anytime he touches you like this. You will do all of these things. And they were talking. And you know, like I tell you, when people, you know, may God give you pastors after his heart that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Because most people who talk around are ignorant, so they can't feed you with jack. That day I was hearing all kinds of people talk. One woman now said, okay, after you have done all of these things, and the man is still as obstinate as ever, is as difficult as ever, what do you now do? You know, we'll now start preaching all kinds of funny doctrines. Someone will say, you will not add praise to it. You will not start worshiping. In the morning, you will anoint his pillow, witchcraft. You will go in. All those things tell you the truth, they are witchcraft. People think witchcraft is go to cover. You come to your husband's pillow. In Jesus' name, you will do what I'm saying. You're a witch. The fact that you say in Jesus' name has not removed the witchcraft from your soul. You are manipulative. You are using the weapons of God to manipulate the man for your own end. It's witchcraft. People say, you will worship God. And then you will begin to prophesy. And then you will do this. I said, look, I told my wife, I can't keep quiet again. All of these things, people are saying, you can see, it's not about right, it's not about wrong, it's about manipulating the man until he starts doing what we are saying. Even though he's saying it's for his own good, we want him to be saved, it's still manipulation. No Christian, they always justify their evil by the end, saying, we're not trying to do this for ourselves, just we are trying to do it because we want to do something good for the house of God. All of it is still manipulation. It's called dealing craftfully or craftily, working deceitfully. That's what it is. Paul said that's not how to do the gospel. We present things open. Are you getting my point? Now, so this is what I'm making. So that day I had to stand up and speak. I said, no, we don't do these things because of what we are going to get. We do them because they are right. So it makes no difference whether he responds or not. I do them because they are right. I'm telling you again today, very few Christians are like that. Most of us, the things we do them because they are the ways by which we get what we want. Very few people actually appreciate God and want to thank him. But if they don't say thank you now, he won't do another one. So let us pray. No, let's thank God first, though, because, you know, if you don't say thank you now, another one will go flow. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. God is not, he's not even listening. He's not hearing you. Because he knows where you are going. Say, look, stop wasting my time. I have many people to attend to. What is the problem? Say it. If we can help you, we will help you. Say, no, Lord, let's finish praising you now so that your hair goes well. There's a difference between that and you just lie down in the morning. You wake up. I've told you, I pick a glass of water, so I look at it. And I'm not trying to be spiritual. I just appreciate it. That if you are thirsty, oh God, look, I've been thirsty before. It sounds funny. I was in secondary school in boarding house. There are times we will be thirsty. Because our friend principal, I was in form one, I was a little boy. The principal then didn't, it was when our new principal came, he solved that problem. That times you will stand like that, there's no water in the hostel. It's not. We were not living in Sahara Desert. You couldn't leave the school, you know, with the law on boarding house, and it's not food time, and there was no water flowing anywhere. You want to swallow like this, your throat no go green move, lest it injures itself. I read the story of some boys who crossed the Sahara. They said, now, going through the desert, there's serious heat during the day. There's severe cold at night. There's the danger of serpents and scorpions and such desert animals. They said that was not what worried them the most. It was the thirst that almost killed them. So sometimes I look at a glass of water and I say, God, thank you, I have this to drink. I'm asking for anything. I'm just grateful. This country, I don't know what is going on. I said, Lord, I thank you. At least there's a road in Enugu to drive on. I'm bringing an issue here. This man delights in the law of the Lord. He's not trying to, you know, obey this word so that you can get healed. Obey this word so you can prosper. No, it is that this is my delight. Do you understand my point? There are things some people like. My wife loves to travel and see places. There's no reward for it. If anything, it costs me money. Are you getting my point? Yes. Some people like quiet. I just like to be quiet and not go out. There's no law, there's no gain, there's no loss. It's just the kind of thing I love. You are getting what I'm saying? Some people like reggae music. And left to people like me, what's the name of that guy? Elvis Presley would have died poor. You know Elvis Presley? That kind of music he plays, I don't understand. Oh, even Mozart, Beethoven. The other day I was telling him, I was watching them on TV. They said, what do you call it? What's that one they were showing on TV? Oprah, huh? You know? I said, what? So I told my wife, maybe when we see it live, we will appreciate. Because as far as I'm concerned right now, this is a waste of godly time. There's no quarrel. Are you getting my point? Yes, some people love it. Now, I'm trying to explain something about love that has nothing attached to it. In the same manner, the Bible says this man loves the word of God. Walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you, one of the things about walking in the Spirit is not about trying to not sin. It is about loving the Word of God. Do you get my point? That is, what book do you love most? Oh, I love my Bible. And not a matter of, let me carry it. You know, those, when I was a much younger Christian, you had to carry a fat, tattered Bible as a sign of spirituality. No. It is, if it's on my phone, it doesn't matter. If it's on my small Galaxy Note, it doesn't matter. As long as I have it and I love to read it. What do I like to listen to? I love the Word of God. You say, what if I don't feel like that? No, what is about feeling? It's something you cultivate. Walk in the Spirit. People struggle to obey God. God didn't say, struggle to obey me. He said, in this book, just meditate day and night. Then you will find that you naturally obey the words that are written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. This man, it is not as if he tried to obey the Word of God. He said, one, I don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, it is not that he doesn't listen to bad counsel. You see what am I talking about? Let me explain. How do you know counsel is bad unless you know the good one? No, think about it for a moment. Until you know the good one, you can't know which one is bad. And by the time you know the good one, you don't need any counsel at all. No, think about it. What is counsel? I don't know what to do. Don't listen to bad counsel. That means I know the good one. If I know the good one, I know what to do. This man does not listen to the counsel of the God, ungodly. It's not as if he does not listen to ungodly counsel. There's a world of difference. If he identifies a man as ungodly, no matter what he says, he does not listen. Oh, I pray you get what I'm saying there. You know, a colleague of mine told me yesterday, telling me a story about a girl who got married. I was telling my wife when I got home. I said, oh, girl, things they happen. This man said, this one is not home video. You know, there are things they can't act in home video. Because they know that you won't buy it. You will say they must be stupid. One of my friends, his brother did some things. I said, oh boy, this is what your brother did. We have to make a movie out of it. He said, listen, if you make a movie out of this, it won't sell. I said, why not now? He said, nobody will believe it. That people can never behave like this, so nobody will believe it. So my friend said, this one is so bad, whole movie people can't make it as movie. Nobody will buy. What happened? A girl married. Now listen to me. Married at 10 o'clock. When did they normally marry? 10. She and her new husband, after the session, they checked into a hotel. Then the evening, they checked into a hotel. She just came out of the onto the corridor. She saw her boyfriend of 2 years ago who went to America. Do you know, she followed the boy and left the new husband. You don't believe, you think, oh God, no, say that story again. It cannot be the way I'm hearing it. That's a confession. I said, you are not serious. He said, that's what I'm telling you, that even home movie can't make this one. Married at 10. By 7 p.m., she saw one guy say, oh boy, where you can't go? Now that is, she didn't enter the room back. It left that guy wondering where the wife I married in the morning is. Now this is where the story is going. He said, I'm not telling you something that happened somewhere. This lady was still in my house a few days ago. It's my wife's friend. I said, she cannot be your wife's friend. I said, such thing, they don't mince words about it. You call your wife straight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I should tell you that you and this girl cannot be friends. I don't care how nice she is, how sweet she is. First, you identify an ungodly person and classify their counsel as ungodliness, no matter how nice it sounds. Yeah. There's one scripture. You know, in recent days, I've been seeing things. There's a scripture that says, don't eat the bread of a stingy man. If you see, I told my wife, if you identify somebody as being very stingy, don't ask him for favors. No, it's scripture. What am I talking about here? For you to listen to this counsel of the ungodly, you first have to keep company with people you have identified as ungodly. And why do Christians keep company with ungodly people? It's always because of what they are going to gain. You know, they are my business associates. You can never not fulfill the desires of the flesh if you are behaving like that. Walk in the Spirit. What do you love? Very practical. Where do I spend my time? Because you see, he said it does not work in the counsel of the ungodly. There's one thing, R.W. Bollinger calls, is it introversion or whatever? I've forgotten what they call that version. That's in progress of expression in the scriptures. You see, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That is, it is where the man is walking, standing, and sitting that decides how his life turns out. Listen, I say this one straight. This is how you know a believer who wants to go somewhere. Listen to me. It's very straight. Listen. It's straight. Young ladies, listen to this. Before he's going to marry a confused person. If you see a man that's always going to church and sweeping, it's not a sign of being a believer. Are you getting my point? Hey, God, please. Get what I'm saying. If you see a woman who's always going out for evangelism, she can be a witch. I'm telling you the truth. It's not a sign that she's a believer. So I love that sister. Praise God. Anytime you get to her house, she has gone for evangelism. Some people, their iniquity is what they are still trying to pay for. Every day, preaching. Preaching is good, amen? What do you think I'm doing here? Is it not preaching? But it's not a sign that somebody is a believer. You get to church, he's always be the one. They're doing everything. It's not a sign you're a Christian. It doesn't mean anything. Maybe like looking, it might be that you're looking for favor with the pastor. One of the five believer, a true believer, there's only one way. You know somebody who's going somewhere in life, watch this, listen, this will never fail. Watch what the fellow pays attention to. If this fellow, this man, this woman, is all the primary goal is to attend to listening to the word of God. That's a true Christian. You want to know a true Christian? See what he or she reads all the time. That look, when I say true Christian now, they may have given their lives to Christ, but the one that's really going somewhere with God. It is not the person who's only, where is he? He has gone to church. You get there. What does he do? He's hammering the door of the church. It's a service to God. I went to examine University of Benin a few days. That's last week. That's why I was not around the other Tuesday. And after all the examiners were talking, one man's trying to explain why federal government should pay and those kind of things. He said, listen, this is not good, like we are working for God. If we want to work for God, I know what to do. I will go to church, take a broom, and sweep the place. I just looked at the guy like this. I don't know him before, so I'll not talk. I'll go to church and sweep the place. And he did his hand like this. I said, that's idolatry. That's not Christianity. You want to know somebody who's going somewhere in life, just watch what the person pays attention to. That's what I'm talking about. He pays attention to the word of God. The primary thing that the fellow loves is God's word. That is the person that's going somewhere in life. That's the kind of person you need as a good friend. Do you get my point? Listen, guys, let's talk. Let's leave these ladies for a while. If you marry a wife and her best husband is, Angie, have you seen the latest Versace? Just call your wife, say, come. That anytime they see each other, it is Versace. Give me another name now. These are the old ones I know. Gucci is also old now. These are old ones. You guys are not current and modern. Which one? DC. Okay. Dolce and Gabbana. Uh-huh. DKNY. Daniel Curry, New York. Uh-huh. All those kind of things. Yeah, have you seen it? How much is the perfume? This one is $26,000. Day and night. Tell your wife. In fact, don't be advisor. You know, there are times you advise. There are times you just instruct. Say, baby, no, I can't explain now. Eh? That girl is not a good friend. No, she's a very nice person. I'm not saying she's not nice. Satan is very nice. You know, I've told you before. Satan is nice. No, forget all this witch they paint. The real Satan is a nice guy. Very nice guy. How do I know? They are going to crucify me. He said, no, master, no bad thing will happen to you. Over our dead body. Who will crucify you? Where will they? And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, what? Satan. What is here? I'm talking about walking in the spirit. I'm identifying the thing because, you know, I first established the fact that we don't struggle to obey God. No. We struggle on little things. To light this place, to ensure this platform has this amount of light so the video cameras can pick good pictures, all the people do is click, 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 click. It is not, where's the wire? Somebody, blow on the filament. Blow until it gets hot. No. is where's the switch? Click, it comes on. And God has provided switches like that for us in life. That if we want light on your platform, there is a place you go to press your switch. And Paul called it walking in the Spirit. So that naturally, we don't walk in sin. And those are the things that are very simple. Where do I go in the evenings? What do I love? Where do I flip my TV remote to first to catch what is going on in the world? Is this CNN news, which I watch news a lot? Or I want to check, that's why I'm so angry with some of our Christian channels. They have driven me away. But when I flip over there, they say, do you want a miracle? Send $38. I said, this is worse than bad news. Let's just go. No bad news, you are prepared. CNN, Calamities News Network, you are ready for what evil has happened in Syria again. But when you tune to a Christian channel, but you want to hear the truth now. Walking in the Spirit, where do I keep company? I'm telling you, it's as simple as that. Remember what I said in Joshua chapter 1? He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. That's the next point. What do you talk about all the time? Because meditate does not mean to think. Meditate means to what? To mutter. Meditate means to mutter. What's your favorite kind of music? Look, it's a deliberate choice you make. I told you the first day I heard Snoop Doggy Dogg, I thought the guy was an exceedingly talented person. Then he began to play. I realized that this guy is Satan, evil, and devil-possessed. So I switched off his music, and we parted ways on the spot. The first day I heard Shaggy, I thought, since the days of Snoop Doggy Dogg, no man has arisen. Then Shaggy spoke, and I realized that Satan has come in the likeness of flesh. Did I enjoy his rhythm? Yes, I think the guy was fantastic. Do I like to play him? No. It's a deliberate choice I made. I don't want you. Read my book again. Great faith can be yours. That's what I explained in there. I walk in the Spirit. That is, I sow my seeds. There are many little things. Like I said, I don't understand everything. I believe that I've not even scratched the surface of what is called walking in the Spirit. I'm just trying to emphasize on the fact that when God puts his Spirit in us and is nudging us in a particular way, and these are the practical manifestations that we are obeying that Spirit. Especially when it comes to focusing on the Word of God. Attending, that is, because that's the primary thing the Spirit of God drives you to, is the Word of God. Now go and read the scriptures. When the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip arrived to talk to him, what did he discuss? How's business? Did he come and say, Philip? No, Philip appeared. Told the Ethiopian eunuch, how's business? Serving the king of Ethiopia, how has it been? Praise God. I hope you're happy. No. Once the Spirit dropped Philip there, what happened? Understandest thou what thou readest? They began to discuss scriptures. When the angel showed up before Cornelius, he said, you need a gospel. Let's send somebody to go and bring Peter to come and teach you the word of God. The Holy Spirit, first place he nudges you to is the word of God. You know, I told you how false prophets are to be identified. Tell everybody. I keep on saying it because I want everybody to know it. How do you know a false prophet? Says, sir, for the last 2 years, I have not been able to break through. What is the problem? Let us pray. People don't like you. There are those who don't want you to progress. Just say, Oga, I now know you are one of them. Pastor Bank said you're a false prophet. You, prophet, does everybody like you? Why are you not having my problems? Dangote, do you know how many people are angry that is the one that consumes sugar? Has he become poorer? No, tell the man. People don't like you. People don't like you. You think everybody likes Bill Gates? They still find Microsoft $700 million the other day. You think they all like Bill Gates? Is he not still rich? Eh? Is there not everybody, people don't like you? Yes, I know. Please solve my problem. I know people don't like me. And when I start prospering, they will increase the number. A false prophet points accusing fingers at your so-called enemies. He doesn't direct you to the word of God. A true prophet directs you to the word of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. The Lord said that they always prophesy for these people. They have furnished them no good. Why? They do not point out their iniquity. Please, I hope you are getting my point.
So the first place the Spirit nudges you towards is the Word of God. That's what I'm saying. And as you begin to plant your seed in that Word, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm happy Christians these days, they like seed. Amen? But I'm teaching you today how to plant the right seeds. The right seeds. You don't, listen, I know you used to be quarrelsome and angry. Listen to me, it is not possible to be a man, a woman that attends to the Word of God, and anger and quarrel and envy and jealousy won't die from your system. If it's not dying, it's a sign that you have been negligent in attending to the nudgings of the Spirit. Please, I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes, sir.
What have we said all this while in this righteousness matter? I said we are not accepted before God because of what we did ourselves. No. We are accepted before God because of what Jesus did. To be accepted is what we mean by righteousness. When we say righteousness, it means, are you accepted? Are you a friend or an enemy? That's what righteousness means. When you get before the throne of God, are you a son? Are you a part of the family? Or you're a stranger that has lost his way? Do we approach unto God because of what we did? No. Does that mean, therefore, I don't have to do what is right? No. I do what is right because right is my nature. The seed of Christ dwells in me. Why do Christians still walk in sin, therefore? I say because they have forgotten these facts. Because they are not walking in the Spirit, like Paul said. What do you mean by walking in the Spirit? We said is attending to the Word of God, watching where we go, checking what we really love. Not trying to manipulate God. Many people see God only as a problem solver. God can solve problems, but he's not a problem solver. He's a father. Are you getting my point? Yes. He's a lover. He wants to be loved. When we need help, we go to him. That's true. But even when we don't need help, he's still somebody to be clung on to. Do you get the point I'm making? That the true child of God loves righteousness. It's her nature. It's his nature. It is not because of what we are trying to get. It is our nature. It is our nature. We are not afraid of going to hell. It's not possible. Hell doesn't want us anyway. Why should I come there and quench the fire? Are you getting my point? No, hell doesn't want me. He knows that anywhere I get to, the fire has to quench. I'm a citizen of heaven. What I said at the beginning, somebody understand. I said, when an ambassador misbehaves, what do? You send him home. If a Nigerian ambassador in Tunisia misbehaves, they don't send him to Libya. This ambassador, send him to Libya. He has misbehaved. No, you send him back home. We have that confidence. Therefore, we serve God with freedom. We serve God with what? With freedom. This is how we are as believers. We give because we love people. Do you follow my point? Yes. I give to my wife because she's my wife. And as a sweetheart, take this money. If I kiss you this evening, you go respond. Like I always tell my wife, I have already paid your father for all the response. Any money I paid now is love. Amen? Amen? The legal money to get response I give to your father, not to you. I have given my life to Christ. Amen? Amen. Everything I get from God is not because of what I give to him. I give to my wife because of love. I have never given to my children because of what they will do for me. Never. How many of you have done that? Alayenka, you called a baby. This school fees. As I pay and so, henceforth, that good behavior. No, there's another way for granting good behavior. The school fees is because it's your duty. It's your responsibility. Like I was saying to somebody today, that's what the gospel is about. Say, give to the gospel so you can prosper. I have nonsense. Whether I give to the gospel or not, I have prospered. Whether I give to the gospel or not, I have prospered. I'm not saying I will prosper. What did I say? I have prospered. It's in the scriptures. But why do I give to the gospel? If I don't preach the gospel, who will? Am I going to go to a Muslim and say, see, we want to evangelize Saudi Arabia. How much will you contribute? The man will give me my address to Boko Haram. Don't you think so? I'm not going to go to a Muslim to beg. I say, please, oh, this radio, in fact, one man in Benin, this is true story. Oh, true story. See, as Christians embarrass themselves, one of these big transporters in Benin, all right? So they go meet this man, big transporter in Benin. Plenty of money. A church. They come invite him for harvest. Now the man bring Ogun out of under the drawer, put him on for table. He bring a batala from under the drawer, put on the table. He bring a few gadgets, you know what I'm saying? Some I'm serious, idols. He drop on the table. The man said, this is my own God. Why should I come and give my money to your own? I'm serious. It really happened. Why should I carry their money and come and give your own? I said, good. Toy. Good for the Christians. Shameless people. I don't want us to do that. Are you getting my point? I don't want us. Therefore, if God blesses me, you understand, I do my portion. That's why we Christians give. Not so as to tempt God to release us. Say, Pastor Banky, there are testimonies. I know. But we have entered into that black hole of the realm of the spirit where all those testimonies, they've collapsed. Right here, we have only one principle. You're going to read the scriptures. It said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Anything we discuss about divine power must come through Christ Jesus. And that one, it is not our own work. So it is that which Jesus did for us on the cross. I have repeated myself all these weeks. I hope you understand righteousness now. I hope you understand righteousness. I hope your love for God is solid so that you walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh.